Greetings and welcome to the Emotions Explained Insights podcast. In today's episode, we're going to ask the question, why did they stay? Looking at why people stay in abusive relationships and why they continue to support abusive partners. To do that, I placed an ad in Craigslist that asked exactly that, why did you stay? What follows is a frank discussion explaining what went on and why the person decided to let things continue. After that, we're going to delve into their childhood. We're going to ask what kinds of issues from a development standpoint might make a person as an adult endure such a situation. Finally, we're going to discuss some of the signs that might help people understand when they're in an abusive situation. And more importantly, what can they do to get out of it? Let's start with a little background from the guest. Be cautioned that there will be graphic language used when describing these abusive relationships.
Okay, I've had two relationships in my life. One in high school.
Right.
That, like, my last year of high school and into university.
Okay.
So two adult relationships.
Right.
Going into university. And then my marriage.
Right.
The first relationship was highly toxic.
Right.
It was highly, very controlling. There was physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse. You name it. I heard the no one's going to love you but me. Getting mad, choke me, try to.
Wow. Yeah.
Thing. You know, rape. Horrible things said. Like.
Oh, so about as bad as it gets.
About as bad as it gets.
Yeah. And how old were you when you first started that? Were you 16 before?
Because this was my first adult relationship. So I was 18 to 19.
Okay. So you're actually 18. Okay.
So I was 18, 19. I went away to college. He followed. And that's when he got physically abusive and all the rest of it. Because
It
was, you know, he's like, who are you with? And who are you talking to? Because all of a sudden I'm in this world that he has no part of.
He lost his control and now he needs to manage you.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, meeting new friends. I wanted to party a bit. I want to talk. And he's losing his shit.
Right.
And my grandmother died. So I moved back home to my parents. And of course, by this time, you know, it just escalates. Then he went away for 6 months. And during that time, I was able to find the strength to say, okay, no, don't want anything to do with you. Moved in with a girlfriend from high school. She helped me stay away from him. But in all this time, he was stalking me. He was, you know, sitting up, here's the university. He's up on the hill with binoculars watching to see who I come with, who I don't need to come with.
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, he kidnapped me one day. the only way I got to go home was I opened the door and was going to jump out of a moving vehicle.
Right.
One night we were at the bar and I was at the bar with my friends, not with him.
Right.
And I, you know, was meeting lots of friends. I was 19 years old and I was having fun. I wasn't living with my parents. I was on my own for the
first time. Great transition period. Right, sure.
You know, living life. And I had friends and guys that were friends. And I'd drink their drinks and everything. And it's a small town. It's not a city. Like, there's two bars in the whole place.
Where you grew up, sure. Okay.
Of course, he's there too.
Right.
And it escalated to the point where all of a sudden it was involving all of my friends. His violence was involving everyone. He was going to beat everybody up. He was going to beat me up. My friends freaked out. They took me home. We were all sleeping in the same room because everyone was scared that he was going to come and do something.
Right.
And my one girlfriend said, okay, that's it. You're calling your mom. And which is for me, that was hugely, no, we can't do that. But I was so scared and I was so messed up that night that I did call my mom.
Right.
Well, I didn't, they called her, they gave me the phone and told her what was going on. She called his mom the next day, never saw him again.
Okay, that's good.
Right. Like, that was it.
There's two things I want to mention besides the fact that, honestly, I'm impressed that she's able to talk about these things. At this point, it's about 3 decades later, but still, nonetheless, it was a highly traumatic experience. So it's good for her that she can share this and potentially help other people who might be in a similar situation. The first thing I want to mention is that it's obvious in this case that her friends knew that something was wrong. And I think that's a really important factor to note, that when your friends are kind of telling you something, maybe you're in the middle of it, you're kind of trying to balance the good and the bad. If they're really like, something's really wrong here, you should listen to them. The second aspect of it is the fact that she was even reluctant to say something to her mother. And again, I'm really glad that her friend insisted upon it. But, you know, sometimes you need to call in the cavalry, and whatever that is, you need to do it. Reach out to other people for help. Don't worry about the shame of, oh, how did I get in this situation? Be more concerned about your safety and protecting yourself than what other people are going to think about a situation. So a couple of years passed, and my guest actually winds up having a relationship with someone for a couple of months, where unfortunately the person gets killed in a car accident. At this point, she's at a really vulnerable part in her life. Here's what happens.
I live alone. I'm dealing with all this pain alone. I don't want to be alone anymore.
Right.
I meet this guy. Actually, it was kind of funny, because I go to the bar with my friend after English class, and she's interested in this guy that's playing pool, and I'm not. And he goes, well, but he's interested in me, and he wants my number. I'm not giving you my number. So anyway, I ended up giving him my number, and all of those little red flags I would have had before, I just let go.
Yeah, because you're in kind of a needy state.
Very.
Yeah.
Very. You know, like, hey, Shannon, I'm going to take you up to the keg. Great. Shows up late. Forgot his wallet. Still wants to go to the keg and wants me, a college student with no money, to pay for it.
Right.
Right? Like, things like that would have been...
And the warning signs continue.
I graduated. My mom had been in a car accident. We couldn't have a big grad thing for me, so I meet my friend, my girlfriend, who married the guy that... Okay, I've got one friend, just so you know. So every time I see this friend, it's this one friend.
Okay.
So I don't have a big support group. I've got one friend.
Right. And that's a really important thing to note, you know, because you don't get... With a larger circle of friends, you kind of get a homogenized response as to what's going on. If you have one person, and you know, you've already mentioned that she's, I guess, somewhat controlling, you know,
she's very self-absorbed. She's a drama queen.
Yeah, she's going to be pretty biased, so you might not get the best advice from that.
She was pregnant and had all of her own drama and
right.
Everything. I mean, I'm not friends with her anymore because everything's about her.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have this dinner. I just finished 4 years of university. A big deal for me.
Sure. Yeah. It was for me.
My only celebration, because everything had to be canceled because of my mom's car accident, is this dinner with my girlfriend
right.
and her husband, and they're going to meet my new boyfriend, who shows up late. And I'm not saying a little bit late, I mean an hour and a half late.
Right.
Shows up, I'm a little bit kind of...
Couple drinks, okay.
So I'm not so people-pleasing. I'm obviously a little ticked. And he gets mad at me. I've had a bad day at work, and this isn't about you, and then it's always about it. Like, just up one side of me, down the other. Another red flag that I just...
Yeah. So the relationship continues for another year, and they actually get engaged. But for her, it's just very mediocre. She could take it or leave it. Then she gets an opportunity to move to another city and potentially meet someone new.
So I'm engaged, I'm going to Calgary, you would follow me eventually. But my whole thought was, if I meet someone else, great. If I don't, then this is who God wants me to be with.
Okay, a little roll in the dice there. How much time did you have? How much time did you have on your own in Calgary?
9 months. 9 months. But what I didn't realize about myself is I'm not very good at meeting people. I'm not really good at...
Right.
I don't know how to flirt. I don't know how to meet guys. So it wasn't a matter of not having the opportunity. It was just a matter of I wasn't very good at it.
Right.
And
I mean, that makes sense. If you grew up in a small town, you know everybody already. You don't have any ability to practice, you know, meeting new people because you know everyone, right? Yeah.
All through high school, I've had one friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just didn't really occur to me that, you know, this is a chance for me to get away.
Right. So some more time passes, and they eventually get married. But it's not a healthy marriage. They very much lead separate lives.
Right. So to me, this was fine. This was great.
Right.
To me, it was like, I'm living my life, you live your life, I'll live my life.
Kind of parallel.
parallel. Right. You know, me and the kids are going to go do this. If you show up, fine. If you're not, I'm not going to, it's not all skin off my nose. But he was miserable. And everything was my fault. And then this is when it started, the blame. Mm-hmm.
And how many years are you married at this point? How many years are you together?
We've been together for three, so we've been married 4 years. Like, things were just going downhill, and I wanted to leave. It was 2003, and I wanted to leave him because things were really just not good. I couldn't do anything right. The house wasn't clean enough. We had a daycare in our house, and he wanted it show home clean.
Right.
Everything was my fault. He was miserable. So I went to the doctor one day, and he said, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "I just want to leave my husband." He goes, "No, you don't want to leave your husband. You're just depressed. Here you go." And I've been on medication ever since.
At this point in the conversation, I'm feeling really bad for her. I mean, here's a person who doesn't have really supportive parents, and we'll talk about that more later. She has a husband who's obviously taking advantage of her, and a friend who's just kind of checked out and just wrapped up in her own world. So at this point, she has no one sticking up for her, and she has this opportunity where a doctor could help her, but he's really just giving her the same exact advice. At this point, she has no concept that there's a way out. They've just moved again, of course, because that's what he wanted to do, and at this point, she's really trapped.
He moved us here, and we hadn't even found a place to live, and he's like, "Okay, I want a divorce." I was like, fuck no. Right. I just moved to another province. No, we're not getting a divorce. There's no way. But what I wasn't realizing was he was using this as a way to keep me, to get me to toe the line. So every time I would start not towing the line, he would demand a divorce.
Right. Which would work for a really good, you know, for you for a number of reasons. Number one, obviously you were disadvantaged because you'd moved to a new location.
And
everything about your parenting says, you know, your parents don't get divorced. You know,
oh, did I not mention that
blame
my
yourself.
Mother told me don't show up on my doorstep, divorced with two kids?
Yeah. Things do continue as is, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel because she gets a job. Now, they had moved to be near his mother, and she's getting a divorce, and that brings things to a boiling point.
Because there was one other time I almost left him, and I was at my parents' house. I was there for 3 months, and the whole time my mom kept on saying, divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. Back I went. Gotta understand, his mom lives here, and she's a miserable, miserable woman. And she was getting divorced. And she made him, they fed off of each other. And I was the one to blame for everything. I was the one that was like, shit. No matter what I did, it was shit. He would put a big mess in the middle of the room and then get mad at me because there was a mess.
Right.
So anyway, I finally get a job, and I go away for a week, come back, and the first thing he says is, I want a divorce. Of course, this is his way to get me to toe the line. But this time, I was like, yep, okay, not a problem. Totally with you. I have a job.
Right.
First time he said this, that I've had a job.
Right.
And not only that, my son's been begging me to leave his dad. And he's even run away. So yeah, I'm like, yep. But neither one of us is going to leave the house.
Because they will be living together, it's not an optimal situation. However, it really is the beginning of the end. It'll be several more years for her, but eventually she will move out on her own. It's at this point in the conversation that we start talking about her childhood. What is it about her younger years that may have set her up to endure such a situation for so long? You know, I've heard at least some things about your childhood. You know, just for you. Given, you know, your childhood dynamic between you and your parents, does it make sense that you were in this adult relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I married my mother.
Right. Yeah.
I was married my father.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, was your mother critical of you?
Highly critical of me.
Okay.
In fact, I didn't even understand she was being critical of me.
Right.
We went to go, my girlfriends and I went to go do the whole bridal wedding shopping thing with my mom. My mom laughed. My girlfriend said to me, said, how do you deal with that? I'm like, deal with what?
Yeah.
Shannon, you look great in every dress.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with your body.
To be continued.